This is Unqualified Parenting.
If you're looking for tips on parenting,
relationships,
self-care,
or just need someone to relate to,
you've come to the right place.
We may be unqualified,
but our info is anything but.
It's a show full of parenting failures,
parenting wins,
and some amazing guests.
I'm Jen, a full-time bio mom and part-time stepmom.
And I'm Cody, a dad who recently remarried and has full custody of his daughter.
And we're here to bring you our unique perspectives from our two very different blended families. Hi.
Hi, Jen.
How are you?
Fabulous.
Are you really?
F-A-B-O.
Are we going to talk about the Utah storm?
F-A-B-O-U-L-O-U-S. Fabulous.
I don't think that's how you spell it.
Doing okay. Had a crappy week. Sucky week. Our basement flooded Sunday night. We had a pretty big rainstorm, and there's some construction going on behind my house, and they may have sent about 3,000 gallons of water into my basement.
Rude.
Yeah, kind of a dick move. You know, it's like, dude, that sucked, man. And he's like, yeah, bro. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I know a couple of people's house who flooded during that storm.
It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Like I've been in scary situations, you know, like where you should be scared.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never been in a situation that was just terrifying.
Where it's like this is up to you to fix.
Like, the rain hit, right? The rain, mm-hmm. was storm. We were outside on the patio listening to the rain. It was great. As a matter of fact, if you look at my Instagram feed, it goes, enjoying this rainstorm out on the patio. 4 hours later, my basement flooded. like I've done this one other time in my life where I posted, new skateboard. And then the next post was, I ate shit. But I just need to stay off social media.
And this is your first home, too.
Yeah, we've only been there 9 months. Mikkel went downstairs and grabbed some laundry and came upstairs. And we folded it. And she went into the kitchen and heard water and looked downstairs. And we had 5 inches.
That
so, like,
sucks.
5 inches in 20 minutes. But it was coming in through the windows like a waterfall. But the windows held. And that saved our ass.
Good.
Because we saw some pictures of windows that didn't hold, and people ended up with like feet of water.
Jeez,
in their house.
Do you have the double pane?
No, they're just old vinyl windows.
Wow.
Yeah. Hmm. But, you know, we put out a call to the neighborhood, and the neighborhood showed up, and we had a bucket brigade going up the stairs and removed all the water in about an hour, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Absolutely crazy.
It's really good.
But it was interesting because, so I had a panic attack that night. You know, I had gathered up all my stuff in my office, all the stuff that's like very valuable and valuable to me. And as I was walking to the stairs, the bottom of the crate broke.
No.
And dumped my laptop.
No, not like the Mac.
Hard drives, everything right into the water. And I'm pulling it up.
Oh,
out
no.
Out of the water. Water's pouring off of everything, right?
That's terrifying.
So I'm like,
I'd
laptop,
probably just start bawling immediately.
Laptop gone. Podcast gone. Like, all this stuff. And then, like, everything's ruined. And, like, our basement's destroyed. We don't really have money for this, you know? And
mm-hmm.
What is Aubrey going to do? Because Aubrey's in Arizona. She's going to come home to a house. And I started having this panic attack, like really bad, to the point mm-hmm. where my dad almost called an ambulance because my face was numb because I couldn't calm down.
Man.
So a few days later, Mikkel's like, I made a mistake of looking at our camera feed from that night. And I was like, yeah, don't do that, you know. But I remember distinctly, her and I were downstairs trying to like figure out how to stop it. And when you're in that scenario, there is no cool emergency voice like, wife, stay clear. I shall rectify the situation. You know, and then you go out. Your voice goes so fucking high pitched. And like when it comes to Mikkel and I, we've been in the shit before. Our brains just go get shit done.
Mm-hmm.
And we go into this communication mode of one word only. And that tells each, it's like it's
watch
like,
her out.
Because she's trained as like
you
an advanced
bucket.
EMT. So she knows how to like prioritize situations, stuff mm-hmm. like that. I don't know what mine is. But so in that situation, we're just screaming one word things at each other. So like we ran downstairs and I'm like, water, I'm like, fuck, she's like, fuck, I was like, oh, fuck, fuck. And like we went outside and I was like, buckets, buckets, you know, but my voice is like, buckets, buckets, you know, and she's like running around and I'm trying to dig a hole under my fence from my backyard to my front yard to get like water to move through there. So I'm in my pajamas, like basically underwater, digging and doing the thing, and I like pop up and I run around to the front and she's like what. I was like, neighbors, you know. And she ran and got neighbors and like came back and, you know, she's like, what are you doing? I was like, buckets, water, what, you know. And like that communication, like we both knew exactly where each other was going, what each other was doing. We didn't second guess. But I have to laugh at myself because I keep going back to that night, and people are showing up to help.
Do you realize you're Lassie? What is it, boy? Water buckets? Yeah. Water buckets?
So
where's the water, boy?
People start showing up to help. So now your focus goes from stopping the water,
to directing,
get the water out, to saving all my shit. Right? Because people are here for the water.
Yeah.
I can trust them. It's buckets. I can't trust them to save my stuff.
Yeah, they don't know what's important.
They don't fucking know what idiots. I got, you know?
Thank you, neighbors.
So you go into this mode where, like, you're no longer stopping the water, which we had so much water in our backyard. Our south window, like, wells that are level with the ground had almost a foot and a half of water over them.
Jeez.
So from the top of the water to the bottom of our window well, almost 3 feet of
jeez.
Water. And those fucking windows held. They're some of the jankiest ghetto windows I've ever had in a building I've ever lived in.
But are they?
But they fucking yeah. held. But so
built right, man.
People show up, they're doing the bucket thing, and Mikhail and I are now in like save the shit. So I start ripping power cords out of stuff. Because we've got 5 inches of water, right? Mm-hmm. So anything that's not in a surge protector, I got to rip that shit out of the wall as fast as I can. But every time I reach in the water to grab the cords, I get shocked.
Oh, no.
So I'm like grabbing and I get shocked. And I'm just like, electricity! 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 As I'm like throwing, like, it's like, it felt like I was grabbing snakes. You know, grabbing these power cords, ripping them out, and just chucking them against the wall. And each time I get shocked, I'm just like, electricity!
She's like, what is it, boy? Power.
But like talking with Mikhail, like she's like, but that's like how it is. Like when we first got Aubrey and Aubrey would get sick and throw up, man, we're both out of bed first thing, towels, vomit, like just one word communication. But
that's awesome.
Like,
I mean it sucks, but it that's a win. That's a huge, here's it's a communication win.
Here's the other win. Because it happened a week ago yesterday. So it's been 7-8 days. Mikhail and I haven't fought or argued or gotten on each other's nerves once through this whole process. And it's been a lot of work.
Yeah,
we had to rip out a whole basement, just basically us and some family, and that was it.
Yeah.
Never once have we ever questioned each other's ability or limits or whether the other person was doing as much.
Good.
Like, that's where our relationship, that's where we're anchored, is just, we just get shit
when
done.
Shit hits the fan, you're solid.
Yep.
That's good. Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah. I wish we had a soundboard so I could go for a one up.
But yeah, so we're working with an attorney. We're going to have to go after this construction company, but we've got money to do what we need to do. And if it takes a month or two to get back to where we are, that's fine.
Yeah,
that's fine.
It's too bad that happened so soon after you bought your house.
Yeah, it's like
just painted those rooms and
yeah, like that sucks. We just started remodeling and the first two rooms we finished were downstairs, so it's just like, and like part of me having a panic attack is I was like, I built the desk in the office. Like, that's not just a desk.
Yeah,
me.
It's I like built your the desk hard in the work. Office. Did it survive?
The desk survived.
Good.
And then I spent 20 hours restoring that 50-year-old dresser.
Did it survive?
It's going to need some work, you know?
Yeah.
And then Aubrey and I spent a month putting in a shower together.
Mm.
And I'm just like, all these things. I've never been a sentimental guy. When we go on trips, I don't buy souvenirs. I don't get the point. I think it's dumb. you know, but all of a sudden I have like this sentimental attachment because like this is our place.
Yeah. When you put work into it and you're proud of it, it's hard to just like let it go.
And it's funny because like that dresser caused a fight between me and Mikkel because it's very blue. It turned into a like I restored this dresser and I made the sides of it like this really bright baby blue and all the drawer pulls are brass. And then I did a like a burned wood effect on the faces and top. I love it.
But it's cool.
It doesn't match anything in that room.
Yeah.
So when Mikkel came out to look at it, she paused and she didn't say anything, which I took as like, she
piece of shit.
It, right?
Sucks.
And I've put 20 hours into like taking this 70-year-old dresser or whatever and bringing it back to where it is. But, and so we ended up having this argument because it didn't match anything in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And the resolution was, look, I'll do all the decorating in that room, and if that room ends up hideous, just call it Cody's room, and all the pressure's off you.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's a good idea. It's a good plan.
But yeah, so I had like all this sentimental attachment to this stuff, and most of it made it through just fine.
Yeah.
But so we ripped the bar that we had downstairs that we hated because the old owner built a bar downstairs out of old doors. Not like cool. Like it sounds kind of cool and you're like, yeah, I built it out of old doors. You're like, fuck yeah, that's sweet. No, these are just those hollow core.
I want a bar, but yeah. All I've got is some doors.
Yeah, which it like I would have torn it out when we moved in, but I was like, man, this thing's anchored in here. This thing is really there. I was very surprised at just how easily that whole thing just ripped right. I didn't even try. I'm just like, ripped it all out. We had a 5-year plan to redo the basement. It's now a 9-month plan.
It's now a right fucking now plan.
But insurance isn't covering anything because it's surface water. So I have to go after this guy. And I think we're going to end up doing a lot of the work ourselves just to save money. And yeah, we've got time, you know.
It sucks because with like homeowners insurance, a lot of people don't realize it doesn't cover earthquakes, landslides, or a lot of flood. Stuff.
But that's why they make you, when you buy a house, they make you check to see if you're in a floodplain.
Yeah.
If you need insurance.
Yeah.
And if you do, they require it. But This property has never, ever flooded, ever.
Yeah, which a lot of those flood maps are so outdated that.
But here's what's crazy. The neighbor that lives to the north of me got zero water. The neighbor that lives to the south of me, whose yard kind of comes down into a pit, they got one of those driveways that goes down into the basement.
Mm-hmm.
No problem at all.
That's to the construction worker then.
It's so stupid.
Yeah, that sucks.
But so we'll take our time. We're going to make the basement exactly how we want.
Awesome.
Because it's just us. And I've got a cool wood shop in the backyard that all the work can be done in. So,
yeah.
You know, and
how did your daughter take it coming home to chaos and construction?
She did really well because I called her that morning, Monday morning after, and just said, hey, here's kind of what happened. You know, we had this house flood and we got a lot of the stuff out, you know, but I held off on sending pictures, right? Because I'm coming to pick her up on Thursday. So then on Tuesday, I'm like, hey, how you doing? We just pulled out all the carpet and all the pad, you know, and I'm like, all the stuff is in the garage and a lot of it's okay, you know. And then Wednesday, here's the first picture. So she's like kind of prepared.
Yeah.
And then when I picked her up Thursday and we were on the flight home, we had a long talk about how we tried to save as much as we could, but there's some stuff we're just going to have to be okay throwing away. And if it's something that's really important, I'll absolutely replace it.
Yeah.
But if it's not important, we have to be okay letting some of it go.
Yeah.
To which she was okay.
That's good.
And then she came home and kind of, you know, saw things and checked it out. But for her, it's just cool. Her and her friends can go down and screw around. And her friend that lives across the street, she was the first person to show up with a bucket.
Aw.
She's 12.
That's so
She shows
nice.
Up as my wife and I are like, buck, 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 buck. And she's like, what do I do? I was like, just start scooping water. And it was just her for a little bit.
That's so nice.
So it was like, yeah, I was really proud of her.
Yeah.
You know, I barely even know her, but.
Gonna have to cook them some brownies.
Yeah,
brownies is a good thank you for anything.
I think we're gonna throw a neighborhood barbecue.
That's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Feed everyone.
Yeah. But, it's awesome.
But that was my week.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah. How was your week?
I had therapy, which was good because I felt like I needed it. So I try not to get political or talk about vax or anti-vax on this podcast.
Oh, you're so political.
I know, but it's just triggering, and I feel like some people have such strong opinions that they are like, well, if you don't agree with me, then I'm going to peace out.
It's like,
which sucks.
It's like a lot of people don't realize that intelligence isn't knowing the right answer to everything.
It's just being educated.
Intelligence is understanding that there's some things you might not know, and it's okay to change your position based on new evidence. That's just called being smart.
Yeah. So, my parents are, they're very much Trump supporters. And I'm very much not. And they're very on the fence about the vaccine. One of them is vaccinated and one is not.
So literally straddling the fence.
Yeah, like literally. And it's just they bring it up all the time and I never bring it up.
I've noticed that with, and I'm sure we're going to piss some people off here, but I've noticed that with kind of the right wing is they bring this shit up all the time.
Like, you know, I'm not talking.
Do you know
about
how many times I bring
time.
Up or even think I about the vaccine?
I never bring it up, especially with family, because that's how families get torn apart.
Unless something big happens, it doesn't even come up in my day-to-day conversations with anybody.
Yeah. And like one of my closest friends is anti-vax. And she's not even anti-vax. She's like, I'm so scared. I don't even know what to do, so I'm not going to make a decision.
She's like agnostic facts.
Yes, exactly. And we talk about it because I know I respect her opinion and she respects mine. But my parents and some of my family, it's like this clear division where if my dad starts drinking too much, he'll go off about it at parties very loudly and he's offended multiple people. And it's like, regardless of which side of the debate you're on, you don't have to be an asshole.
But see, I feel like the right wing side of this debate is kind of about pissing people off. Owning the libs gets brought up a lot. We gotta own the libs. It's gonna piss you off. You got a vaccine. I gotta push your buttons. Whereas, like, no, just please get vaccinated and shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's just like, it's like televangelists with religion. We know everyone knows you're speaking bullshit and you can say it as loud as you want, but in the end, we just want you to just shut up. We don't have to talk about religion ever.
So, because I went to therapy and I'm like, they're like just constantly texting me all this shit and they like video film Fox News on their phones and then they text me a video of their, which don't video other videos on your phone, at least find the YouTube source. Like,
well, and I mean, this is another indication of, I mean, Fox News viewers, but they post just about every 30-second clip they air during the day on Twitter.
I'm sure they do.
Send a link.
But, you know, older people. So I'm an only child, and so it's like this is my family. This is what I got, and I'm the opposite. And so my therapist said, you clearly still want a relationship with them. And I said, yes, I just don't know what to do because I'm sick of this. And I've had so many things where I've said we can't talk about this anymore because we just have two different, like, opinions.
Yeah.
So he said, when people text you, just say,
fuck you.
Exactly. Just say, I'm hearing your thoughts on that.
I hear you, dog.
Yeah.
I hear you, dog.
I'm hearing what you're saying.
Exactly.
It's not thanking them like thank you for your opinion. No, you don't want to encourage it, so you don't say thank you, but you just say I'm
heard.
Hearing what you're saying.
Heard.
Hearing your thoughts.
Yep.
So that they know, so they're not like, are you ignoring me? What's going on? You're obviously not ignoring them, but you're letting them know I hear you, and that's the fucking end of it.
I hear
the
you.
End.
Yep. Yep. I hear you just like I
understood
hear,
your crazy I, bullshit.
Just like I hear traffic outside.
Exactly.
I heard you.
Heard my dog bark. Yeah. So I felt like that was super helpful because I feel like I have a response now. Mm-hmm. And I know some of my friends are in this situation where they have people sending them bullshit stuff and they don't know how to respond.
So I've actually found myself needing to be heard from my daughter. This has happened kind of over the last year with
teenagers. If she would say, I hear your thoughts on that, would you feel better?
So it's like, hey, bug, next time you do this, I need you to do it this way so your mom doesn't get on you. I just need to say, you heard. And so sometimes I'll be like, hey, bug, you need to do it this way. Word. She goes, word.
I'm like, all right.
That's because sometimes that's all I need.
Just confirmation.
I don't care if you care what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I need your mom to hear me tell you. All you have to say is, word, dad, I got you. And then she thinks I'm doing my job.
Yeah. Then if you fuck up, it's on you.
That's on me. So, yeah. So I'll look at her and be like, word. And she goes, word.
Yeah.
Which is very 70s word.
Another one of my mom's friends. She'll say things like, this is a bad example, but she'll say like, just make sure you wear your seatbelt. And I'm only saying that out loud for my own anxiety. Like she'll flat out say like, I just need to say it out loud and have you hear it. And I know it's not because I don't trust you. It's my own anxiety that I just need to get this thought out.
I just gotta get this thing out of me.
I feel like if my mom would have worded that to me, like,
this is just me being crazy.
Yeah, but I need to say it out loud. You don't need to respond. I feel like I'd feel so much better. Like, because if someone says, like, I need to make sure that you call me when you get to another state. Like,
fucking
no.
Lay off. Like, get off
busy.
Me.
Yeah. But if they just say it, like, I just need.
Look, I'm just being crazy. Just shoot me a text. I'll be up all night.
Yeah. Like, then it's like all
I'm
right.
Nuts. I'm nuts.
Yeah, I'm owning
I'm
this.
Asking you to accommodate me.
Yeah.
And then I'll leave you the
versus
fuck alone.
I don't trust you to get there safely because you're a fucking moron. I need you to text me that you did get there. It's very different.
Yeah, because like before my dad had his eye surgery, he couldn't see anything. And so literally when he would leave our house at night, I was like, look, you have got to text me when you get home. Because he's like, yeah, I can't even see your back fence. I'm like, our yard is like 10 feet deep. That's it. You should be able to see the fence. He's like, okay, I'm driving home. It's like a 30-minute drive.
But, after he's pounded a fifth of Jack.
Mm-hmm.
Goodbye.
But like I've noticed because like Mikkel has these – I always get on her about it and I always feel bad. But like – if Aubrey's in the back seat of the car and she has a snack, the first thing out of Mikkel's mouth is,
make sure you clean up.
Make sure you don't make a mess back there. Clean it up. And I tell her all the time, I'm like, she knows that. She's been listening to you say that every time for like 10
And then it just pisses
years.
Them off. So if you just say, I have to say for my own anxiety,
and
please don't make a mess.
I found myself doing that for her. Because she'll be like on a thing. Because
you're like, I know, mom.
Mikkel's very task oriented. She mm-hmm. focuses on a task list, and that's all that matters right then is that list. And so sometimes she'll tell Aubrey something, and I'll go, your mom meant to say please. And Mikkel's like, oh yeah, sorry, please. And Aubrey's like, okay, fine. But like, I find that sometimes I have to jump in there and be like, hey, your mom's just gonna say it. She's being crazy. It's okay. And Mikkel's like, yeah, I'm being crazy. All
right. That's good.
But that's good that you found a way to like. Create a little boundary. I heard
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not positive.
And then as they keep
negative.
Saying it, you're just like, I heard you. You can get really snarky with it. I like that.
Yeah. I felt like it was very good advice. Like that one sentence was worth the whole therapy session. So I'm going to read it again to you guys.
Because she's got to get her money worth.
Hearing your thoughts on that.
Hearing your thoughts on that.
So it's like gold. Gold.
Yep.
Therapist is awesome.
I'm seeing the way you did your chores.
I see that. Yeah.
I'm understanding you texted your ex-wife.
Oh, man. So, part of this issue is having confidence in yourself because I feel like I wouldn't take what they're saying so personal if I had the confidence in myself.
Right, because... because you're afraid of pushing them away because they're part of like a anchor in your life.
Yeah.
So if you had confidence that they wouldn't leave, it would give you the ability to communicate with them completely. But
yeah.
Because you have the fear of losing them or making them mad and losing the only anchor to your family, you have to compromise on your level of communication.
Yeah. And like if I had that confidence, I'd know even if we disagree and fight, you still love me, so goodbye. Mm-hmm. Whereas, I don't know.
Isn't it funny how that works with family? Because, like, with friends, like, if you were getting on my nerves, I'd be like, hey, Jen, like, fucking stop. You're driving me crazy. And you're just going to be like, oh, okay. Yeah. And we're, like, fine. But, like, yeah. If you told your family, hey, fucking stop, you're like, oh, this is going to be a month.
Yeah,
this is going to be a month.
Yeah, it is weird. It's weird. I think it's because you're, like, stuck with them, whereas friends, you know you have the choice, so they only push you so far.
I feel like it's backwards.
Go on.
It's harder. It's... Okay, I lost it. Fuck, I had it in my head. I lost it. Go on.
So I realized, because I was at my friend's house, and her daughter and my stepdaughter are very much the same. They're very loud, boisterous, kind of show-offy when they're nervous type personalities.
Crave validation.
Yes, yes. So lately, when my stepdaughter's here for the weekends, she'll ask, what are we doing this weekend? And I'll say, oh, we have a birthday party or something. Is that all we're doing? Yeah. Well, I don't know what else to do. I'm like, well, and I always tell her, whose job is it to entertain you? And mm-hmm. she'll say, myself. Yeah. If you're bored, it's your job to fix it. And like in the past when she was younger, I was like, let's make a 10 things to do when you're bored list and make it pretty and we'll hang it on the wall. Mm-hmm. And it was super fun. And when she'd get bored, she'd say, oh, I'll go check my list. And then she'd go tell me, Barbies was on my list. I'm going to play Barbies. And I'd say, that's great. Yeah.
In but our now, family, I told Aubrey, in French, to say on board, you say je m'ennuie. It means I bore myself.
Oh, I like that. I didn't even mean to do that the first time. Okay. Oh, man. So, but I notice when she's like acting like pouty and irritated, I take it very personal and I get really mad. So I was at my friend's house getting to that. Because I didn't know why till today.
I'll take that back.
So I was at my friend's house. And her daughter's very much the same. And came up and was like, I'm going to have a picnic outside when we eat dinner with them tonight. Because we were over there for dinner. And she said, no, we're eating inside. And she said, I want to eat outside. And she's like, stop it. We're eating inside. Knock it off or you can go inside and play by yourself. And she went in the corner and she pouted. And my stepdaughter has the very same reaction. Well, she'll go and pout or she'll like hit something. And like, it's been an issue lately. And I like get worked up like, and I realized because this neighbor, she'd get irritated at her daughter for like being pissy. But she'd let it go. Like, it would leave her after. And I'm like, why am I taking this so personal? And I realized
the two are very different.
Oh, we're, yeah.
like diametrically opposite.
Yes. Yes. I realized because I feel like I provide so much for you and that I'm good enough, so you should be happy and not be asking more of me. And I feel like because my stepdaughter is saying, I want more, I need more, that you're not appreciating me or I'm not giving you enough. There's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough is what the core comes down to is not feeling good enough.
No.
Which I just need the confidence mm-hmm. to. I do so much for them. And mm-hmm. my stepdaughter's even said, you do so much for me. I really appreciate it. Like, she's flat out said those words to me, which I love. She's super awesome. She recognizes things like that more than other kids, I feel like. But in those moments, I just want to be like, I do so fucking much around this house. Like, I do everything. And you still are, like, going to act pouty and unhappy? Like, how dare you? When really, that's just kids.
Yeah.
And I could plan fucking nothing for the whole weekend and they should have to fucking deal with it. And I should have the confidence to be like, well, we are not doing anything, but I'm doing laundry. Yep. I'm cooking for you. I'm dusting. Mm-hmm. I'm vacuuming. I'm mowing the lawn. Like, my list is huge.
Yeah.
And my neighbor friend said that, like, you should tell her this is what I'm doing. Maybe you should figure something out for yourself. Mm-hmm. Which I've kind of said, but
The rule when I was a kid was, you either go outside and play, or you do chores. There's no middle ground.
Yeah.
Go outside and play, or you can come in and do chores.
I disengaged from chores a while ago because we had a whole chore chart system, and I felt like I was the only one babysitting it.
You're like, hey, let's do chores, and I was like, yeah.
And I'd be like, we need to remind her. So then it was basically me harping on stepdaughter.
It was a Jen nag chart.
Yeah, exactly. And as a stepmom, you do not want to be that person. So I let it go. So my husband come up with this new system where you get $5 for your allowance a month, and you empty all the bathroom's garbages. That's all you do. Guess what she's been forgetting to do lately in all her boredom? She's forgot like the last three times. And if you forget and we have to remind you or we have to do it, you don't get the $5 for the month.
You guys are strict.
We are so strict on Aubrey, one chore.
Aubrey gets 15 a week.
Does she? How many chores does she have?
She has a different chore every day.
Who makes sure she does that chore every day?
Mikkel and I. We double check.
Do you? Or does Mikkel double check
guess
and
who
say?
Guess who hasn't had allowance for over a month because she can't do her chores without being reminded? Because the deal with allowance in our house is that allowance is us not reminding you.
Yeah, exactly. Right. That's how we are.
Yeah, that allowance
if we have to
is,
remind you, you don't get it.
Because then it's my job.
Yeah. Then it's not I my might job. As well do it. Because now I have to remember. Now I have the mental load.
Yep.
And she's asked recently, I want to start cooking. Like, when can I, like, can I start cooking dinners? And I said, did you know that Aubrey, Cody's daughter, she makes like full on breakfasts for the family and sometimes dinners too.
She cooked for my dad while we were in Denver.
Yeah. See? And she's like, that's awesome. When can I do that? And I said, honestly, the mess that you and your sister make when you're cooking is so much that it stresses me out because I know that we're going to be the one cleaning it up or at least pointing here, that if you guys could clean up after yourself throughout the week and I wasn't having to pick up random shit all the time throughout the house and you were remembering your chores, I would have the energy to teach you to cook.
So when I started with Aubrey, teaching her to cook, we were in our apartment when we lived in the basement. And we didn't have any counter space and we didn't have a dishwasher. So cooking wasn't just cooking. It was cooking and cleaning at the exact same time.
Yeah, our kitchen's pretty tight. You've been in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's how we learned to cook was if it comes off the stove and we don't need it, it gets washed right away and put right away.
Nice.
Right away. Every time. And so now cooking, we've got, you know, a nice big kitchen. Mm-hmm. It's still the same way.
That's good.
So no matter who cooks, there's at least one of us there helping to make sure that dishes don't pile and it's all put away. It's all
That's
clean.
Awesome.
So if you do sit down and teach them to clean at the exact same time.
Yeah.
But I feel like cooking's great for people with ADD.
Yeah.
Because
I'm sure.
Your task is always different, always changing.
And it's like pressing, like right now, go, next step, next step. Yeah.
So yeah, I taught her to cook and clean at the same time.
Yeah.
And it's nice.
Yeah, we do clean up a bit as we go because I'll have her bake. And actually, the last time we baked brownies, I just set the box in front of her and said, what do we do? And
Aubrey can't do that. Isn't that weird? She remembers stuff. She remembers like she knows enough that she could whip something up.
Uh-huh.
But if I say, here's a box, she's like, it's like, it's like if I were to, I don't know, it's like if someone gave me a nuclear reactor. That's cool. Like, I know the end goal. Like, I don't know how to, she just stares at it. I'm like, okay, what's the first thing
you need to do? See, Lily's the exact opposite. She's like, how much do I need exactly, though?
So teach her baking.
Yeah.
Baking is slow and exact.
Mm-hmm.
With Aubrey, it's like, it's all feel and flavor. Yeah.
So that's what I say. Baking's a science. Mm-hmm. Cooking is an art.
It's always an art. So I've taught Aubrey to, you taste every time you add an ingredient. Mm-hmm. You taste every time anything. You're constantly tasting. I said when dinner, if you cook and dinner comes, you shouldn't be very hungry because you've been tasting everything the entire time. But yeah.
So we want to eventually start doing more of that with her, but like I can't keep picking up, and I have a toddler right now, so it's like I do not have.
You should tell her that she is your sous chef, and so while you're cooking, she's the assistant. Her job is to help keep things clean.
That's a good idea, because then I don't feel like I have to direct her.
And then
that sounds less stressful.
And then if you need a break, you can say, "Okay, I need you to watch this and stir it every 30 seconds."
Yeah.
So you're like teaching her slowly while you're still in control 100%.
Yeah.
And she learns the importance of keeping it clean while you go, and you don't have to do the dishes.
Yeah. I like that idea.
That's also how I got Aubrey over her picky eating, is we have to taste everything we cook. And so she learned that, oh, wow, tomatoes are actually really good. They add a lot of flavor to things. And we got her over her picky eating really quick that way.
It's a good plan. Yeah.
Hire her as your sous chef.
It's a good idea. Gonna have to start doing that.
And then, you know, when those like easy stuff, like everyone wants eggs today. You can put her in charge. It's hard to mess up eggs.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
When I was a kid, we used to cook them in the microwave.
Yeah. I remember microwave eggs.
Ugh, so gross.
They are gross. Microwave it's like the worst way.
And powdered milk. We'd get powdered milk from the bishop because we were so poor and you have to add water to it.
Oh, no. And just don't have milk at that point.
You have to, like, keep shaking the jug to, like, it separates.
Just don't have milk at that point. I'd rather have dry cereal.
If we had, like, half a gallon, my mom would fill the rest up with water because milk's just water anyways.
So Finley's been constipated a lot lately, and she still wants her bedtime milk, like, at dinner time. And so I'll do half of it with hot water and the rest with milk, and she's never noticed. Because milk constipates you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, plug you up.
But then she's like, I want milk. I want my bedtime milk. So I've been watering down her milk, but because of that, it's fun times. I have a game over.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
So my mom asked if she could take Finley for the night because she missed her and it was like 2 weeks out. And I said, sure, I'm going to go to the bar that night and play darts and drink. And it was awesome. But anyway, dropped her off, and a few hours later, she texts me, and I guess Finley, my three-year-old, went upstairs, and my mom apparently bought the same ball that we have to play with here. And Finley said, what the fucking? I didn't know this was here. Which, for the record, I don't say what the fucking. That's just stupid. But my mom, thinking I had to have heard her wrong, said, what did you just say? And she said, what the fuck? I didn't know this was here. Exact same thing. So my mom texted me and said, who's teaching her this language? And I said, grandpa.
You should have just texted back and be like, I don't get what the problem is.
I don't understand what the fucking is.
And then don't answer anything after that. I don't get what the problem is. Phone off.
Oh, that would have been funny. I don't see the issue. I'm hearing what you're saying.
Did she say the C word?
Then
you're
good. So she said, no, she heard it from you. And of course, I send like the Han Solo gif where he's like,
me?
What? But yeah, it was pretty because I'm sure it was from me.
Yeah. I love it when little kids swear. It's so funny.
It's pretty
like funny. Even when it's your own, you punish them and then you just laugh.
Yeah.
That's why like Aubrey's at the age now where it's just like, just don't swear in front of like grandparents. And, like, I can't stop you. Kids.
Yeah, my three-year-old's not quite at that stage yet where it's okay. Now it has to be a conversation.
Yeah.
Firstly, you're using the word wrong.
Well, and then not only that, but like if you sit him down and talk to him, now you've given it like importance and meaning.
Yeah.
So I was a little kid. We lived maybe like two blocks away from my grandparents. My grandparents' house was the place to go. Everyone was there. So when my cousins would come to visit my grandparents, they'd walk just the two blocks to our house to hang out with us. So we're hanging out, and of course, they're all being fucking assholes, Right, because they don't want to wait for the kid with one leg. Oh, we don't want to wait so slow. Because at that time, I had a wooden leg, and my knee was just like a door hinge. Like, you know, so as I'm walking, it's like clunk, 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 clunk. And so they're like, we don't want to play with you. You're too slow.
Oh, sad.
So me, at 7, goes, well, I don't give a... Because I want to say, I don't give a fart, but I wanted the emphasis on the fart. So I made the... Well, my cousin, her name was Carla at the time. It's now Casey, because Casey's so much better than Carla. Went and told my parents I said the F word. So I get home because they went one way and I went the other. And my mom's like, you get in the bathroom right now. And I was like, what did I do? She says, you know what you did. And sure enough, bar of soap in my mouth, right? The whole time I'm like, I don't know what's going on. My mom's like, you don't say that word. You don't say it. And so I'm like, they're in the bathroom, like taking this over. I'm like, what did I say? What did I say? My mom goes, you said I don't give a fuck. And I said, no, I said I don't give a f-. And she goes, oh, you can just go play.
Sad.
But I learned the F word that day.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have, but I learned the F word that
day.
Oh,
man.
And I said it every day from then on, because I already paid for it.
Yeah, might as well.
Dinner time. What the fuck, Mom? Hey, you can't put it in my mouth. You can't put this soap in my mouth. You already did. So I get one a day. And dinner. What the fuck?
Man. Yeah. Luckily, my stepdaughter doesn't swear yet. So, still got that innocence.
I'm getting to the point with Aubrey where like. Like, we're starting to watch shows that, like, we both can like and enjoy that are a little bit more mature.
That's cool.
And it's not awkward, you know? Because, like, a lot of parents, like, you watch something and there's, like, making out. And you're like, oh, you better cover your eyes. Yeah. You know? I never wanted to be that parent.
No, just my don't parents say were that anything. Parent.
So I just don't say anything.
Yeah.
And Aubrey's don't to the point now where, like, we were in the car the other day. And there was some song came on. I think it was like a Green Day song. But in it, it says the word prepubescent.
Mm.
And Aubrey goes, what? And I said, you don't know that word? And she goes, no. I said, oh, it just means before puberty.
Mm.
So if someone's prepubescent, like a boy, it means he hasn't gone through puberty. She goes, I got boobs. And I said,
Get it, girl.
Me too, kiddo. Me too. So that's where our relationship is at
that's
right
awesome.
Now.
That's awesome.
But we're starting to get into, like, we can watch movies together, and it's, like, violent, or there's, like, I don't know. It's just comfortable.
That's great.
I missed her immensely the week she was in Arizona, and especially that entire week after our house flooded. Like, every time I missed her, like, I've got this whole friendship bracelet she made.
Aww.
I found myself constantly, like, I wish she was here so I could just hug her. That's it.
Aww.
I just want to hug. Because... It was rough, but
yeah,
kids, they're great till they aren't.
Yeah, and then they are again, and you're like, shut up, come here.
Do you have
love
a
your stupid face?
Do you have a what's big, small, and coming tomorrow? What's the segment?
Best, worst, and what's next?
Yes, what's your best over the last week?
I think my best is realizing that, the irritation from my stepdaughter was an issue with my own self-confidence. So now I can actually work on it.
That's good though. Cause some parents would just beat them.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up.
You know? And so
you ungrateful
being able to go to therapy and realize that is a huge,
I realized
win.
That on my own actually.
That's a huge,
yeah.
Win.
Double win.
Yeah.
My worst is probably that it's taken this many years to realize that I have that issue, but at least I realize it now. And what's next is like building up my self-confidence and just like, if I don't have even a single plan for that weekend, that's fine. It is not my job to entertain these kids.
No.
It's their job.
That's why they have a toy room.
They have a whole playroom.
Yeah.
To themselves.
Figure it out.
It's not even like, oh, go play in your room. No, you have your room and you have a playroom.
Hey, when I was a kid, I got one action figure. I had no head and two legs. I didn't have an arm, just had a wrist attached. Weird. And that's all I had for 10 years.
What about you? You have a best, worst, and what's next?
Best was going through this last week with my wife, because there's no one else I'd want to go through that with.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so good at working together when we're in the shit.
That's awesome.
And that's because I was like, man, if my sister and my brother-in-law were going through this, they'd be divorced by now. They honestly, because they're at each other's throats all day normally.
Oh, man.
And if this was my little brother and his wife, same thing. Because of the same thing. And I was like, not once through this process have I felt that you've let me down or you haven't done the most you could.
Yeah.
And not a lot of relationships are like that. A lot of relationships are like, oh, well, I'm down here pulling nails out of the wall and she's just up there vacuuming.
She's painting her nails.
This is hard. I busted my knuckle on the wall. You know, so why? But it's, no, it's, she's putting in effort. As long as the effort's in and my effort's in, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Well, and I think communicating when you're at your breaking point, too, I think is very important.
Yeah. So that was our best. The worst was Sunday night a week ago. Like, bad enough, I might have to talk to a therapist about it because I can't. My mind just keeps replaying that, like, 4 or 5 hours of just chaos.
Hmm.
And it's to the point where if I keep thinking about it, I think I'm
gonna have more panic attacks.
I'm gonna have to go talk to someone because the situation's not over until the basement's put back together. It's still going on. It's mm-hmm. not as scary as it was that night.
Yeah,
and it ended up a little bit better than we thought. We didn't lose as much as we thought,
mm-hmm.
which is good.
Yeah,
but it's still just that fear that within 20 minutes, because I mean, we look at our phones for an hour. You can easily lose an hour just staring at your phone. 20 minutes is all it took.
Yeah.
So we bought these water alarms that we've put all over the basement. If someone sneezes and a drop of that hits, the whole place is going to light up. But so worst was just the situation we've been through.
Yeah.
But the best is just the communication that we have. And then, you know, we celebrated our 7 years of marriage yesterday.
Happy anniversary.
You know, and for our anniversary, I gave her a bunch of tools to work on the house, and she was super excited.
How did you give her the tools?
I made a tool bouquet.
So cute.
With a flower, and I made all the tools into flowers.
Cute.
And she was actually really excited. And
yeah, I bet.
She used all of her tools all day yesterday and all day today, and, you know, she's really nice. And she gave me exactly what I needed, just sugar, just Red Bulls and candy, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
my therapist tells me when my thoughts start like cycling to mm-hmm. dark places, just ask yourself, is everyone, like your kid, your wife, mm-hmm. and you, are you reasonably safe right now?
Yeah.
Because these are just thoughts. Are you safe right now?
Right.
And then it like kind of calms you down, like, yeah, they're in bed, so
yeah,
it's fine.
Hey, wake up. I'm just doing this because I'm crazy. You okay? Okay. All right. I'm going to go.
Are you breathing?
I'm going to go to bed. You're not. Water didn't come in here, did it? Okay. All right. Just check. I'm crazy.
Are you drowning right now?
I'm nuts. Good night. I'll wake you up in 15 minutes. Yeah. And then our what next is just, this is just going to be a slow process.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It'll take months and months.
So
and
we've.
I did warn Mikkel of this because I want people to be aware that are first time home buyers, you might think our next project is to replace this wall, and as you're doing it, you've run into another problem.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, we're well versed in all of that. Yeah. Because the shower was supposed to be a weekend project and it took 3 months.
Yeah. Yep.
Because I couldn't figure out a plumbing issue that ended up being not an issue and was absolutely normal.
Oh.
But I just, in my head, I was like, this just doesn't make sense. Why would it be like this? And then every plumber I talked to was like, yeah, that's how we install them. I was like, oh, cool. That's really cool.
I just have to ask this out loud. Is this normal?
But no, it's seriously, I was at the hardware store and I was next to a guy and he looked like he knew what he was doing. And I was like, can I ask you a question? He's like, yeah. I was like, my shower downstairs doesn't drain very fast. It always has water in there. He's like, yeah, that's by design. Oh, okay, well, I'm going to put this cart full of shit back because I don't need to tear anything up. But yeah, so going forward, it's just going to be kind of rebuilding and taking our time, and today at work was pretty slow, so I started designing a wood surround that we're going to put over our fireplace downstairs. Ooh, to make fancy. It all fancy. So we're focusing on the fun stuff. We picked out carpet. We picked out some vinyl flooring.
And, that's awesome.
You know, we're making a little Pinterest board.
Yeah.
So the what next is just going to be going forward. But yeah. I told the girls, I was like, look, we lived for 10 years in an apartment that was half the size of our upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole upstairs. We've got a whole outside.
Yeah, like, it's fine.
We're fine.
Totally fine.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Any last thoughts or advice?
No.
Cool.
Hey. With confidence, I'm hoping to do an episode on like how to get that confidence.
Okay. My advice would be if your wife says, wow, this is a lot of rain, we should check the window wells, you should listen. And that's it.
All right.
If you have any questions, comments, concerns, you can email us at
hello@unqualifiedparenting.com.
Follow us on Instagram and
At unqualified parenting.
Like, comment, share, poke.
Rate us. Unless you hate us.
Yeah.
And then email us an angry letter, and then we'll cry, and then we'll throw it into the fire and go to therapy. Thank you. You have survived another fortnight of parenting.
Good night, everybody. Unqualified Parenting is written, produced, edited, and hosted by Jennifer Jones and Cody Reese, with special thanks to our families and listeners for making each episode possible.